Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with everybody today. And I am pumped, as everybody should be, ready to fight. Basically, the 49ers and Titans just concluded their joint practice, which they play a game in 2 days, which is going to be a lot of fun, obviously. But apparently, there were about 4 fights that broke out in the first 10 minutes. Players ejected for both sides, all kinds of punches thrown, haymakers, whatever else. Now, there's so many ways to look at this, and I have so many notes from today. We'll get through the press conferences and all that kind of fun stuff. Injury updates, you name it. But like, let me just say this from a coaching perspective, which is where I usually tend to come from. Fights aren't a bad thing. Throwing punches is stupid. That's just dumb. Throwing a punch with somebody wearing a helmet, it's just idiotic. It's how you get injured. But I love fire. And whenever you have these teams that have been holding back and practicing against their own team for so long, you got to let the rage out, man. And don't get me wrong, this is a Dre Greenlaw reaction, and I love it. Bully ball, baby. Fred Warner out there talking trash, Dre Greenlaw out there delivering. Garrett Wallow, I think, is one that actually threw a punch from a couple different quips that were put out there. It's always a mess to tell whatever, you know, all those players are scrumming and whatever else. I love the energy. I love this. It's a Thunderdome. We are warriors out here. Now, you want the control, right? You want to make sure you're not doing stupid stuff. And I'm sure, you know, whenever these fights happen, stupid stuff always happens. But I think it's great. I love the hunger. I love the energy. I love that from a defensive perspective. And, you know, here's a quote. And this comes from a Titans guy, right? Buck Reason. I'm sure I mispronounced his name, and I apologize. Cam Ward was behind on a throw to Carnell Tate. 49ers player pops Tate anyway. And this is straight from his tweet. Quote, San Francisco tried to knock the shit out of everybody on every play. Set the tone. Set the tone, boys. Come on, man. Let's go, Shorzy. Like, if you're good, then you're going. Understand you're coming into our house. This is our practice field. You got to understand what that costs. I don't give a damn if you're a first-round wide receiver picked in the top 5. Don't care. We're coming for blood, baby. You're not playing dirty. But you're putting an emphasis. Set the tone, boys. I freaking love it. And the 49ers, with Dre Greenlaw came in. Dre Greenlaw is that for everything. And the mirror to the tone setter for the defense is Deebo Samuel for the offense, and he's out there scoring 3 touchdowns in red zone, getting, you know, carries in the backfield, doing all kinds of stuff. Quote, Debo's in the best shape of his life, end quote. That's from Ted Wynn. He covers The Athletic. Lots of positives there, and we're going to get through. I have so much, way too much. Want to say thank you to everybody showing up, all of the hashtag CCs, the countdown crew. What's up, Monkey Boy? First in the house today was Javier. What's up? Hello, John. May the force be with us this season. Hashtag CC countdown crew coming in strong. What's up? 49ers football is back. Gotta love it. What's up, Big Red? Texas football is back too, man. Talofa, brother. Appreciate everybody coming out. That's right. It's like Christmas in August. I can't wait. We have 49ers football. We have tape. We have film in 2 days. In 2 days, we will have coaches tape to break down. Ugh, it's what I've always wanted. It's all I've wanted. It's new football tape to break down. If you haven't joined us on the 49ersrush.com or on our Patreon channel, every single play, offense, defense, special teams from the week's preseason game, which happens Thursday, will be broken down for you in detail, highlighting every single play, every single player, the goods, the bads, the uglies. Gosh, you got to go. It's a seven-day free trial. You got to go sign up. Right now is the best time all year to sign up. Plus, we're going to be posting our season-long bets after the second preseason game. We usually post those, so stay tuned for that. Those bets are all posted on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. That is how I feed the family. That is how you show your love. That is the way to go. So please, 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 please get over there. Thursday. Oh, cannot wait. Tommy, Bosa injured. Bosa's been injured. you did get some more clarification on Nick Bosa, which it's so funny. Like, I got to be careful what I say here. Getting like, man, Bosa's holding out and stuff. And I'm like, dude's got 3 years left on his contract with so much guarantee. Like, that's asinine, was stupid in and of itself. If he was holding out, he wouldn't have came back and practiced for a week and a half. Like, just dumb. I don't understand where conjecture comes from. Now, I understand Bosa holds out all the time. His brother holds out all the time. Their money's first, second, third, fourth priority. But, you know, Kyle Shanahan gave some indication about this after the joint practice today, saying that, you know, it's tendonitis on the ACL repaired knee. Now, Albert Breer did an article with Bosa earlier this week, and this was already put out there, that he struggles with tendonitis because they had to go back and clean up his high school ACL tear, and that he's had some tendonitis in that knee, which Kyle Shanahan, take this for whatever you will, says about 90% of our guys that have gone through ACL say that they have gone through this as well. It takes a while for the knee to get to where it needs to be. ACLs used to take 15 months, then it was down to 12. Adrian Peterson shows up, then it's down to 9. You can have an MVP season after that. Look at what happened the last time Bosa had an ACL. Goes and wins Defensive Player of the Year. Do you expect that again? No. But this is not, if you're looking for a 5-alarm fire and that's your narrative and that's how you get clicks, yeah, I get it. And you're going to drive that narrative and a lot of people are going to pick up on it. This is not one, and again, I'm not one to trust Kyle Shanahan with any injury news whatsoever. I do not, ever. But the fact that Nick Bosa came back, and I've said this a few times, Bosa came back. I did not expect him to come off the PUP to start training camp. I did not. I think he's ahead of schedule. I expected him after the first or second preseason game to get there. And now the update is week to week with Nick Bosa. I'm not overly concerned. I'd probably put it at about a, 90% positivity, 85% positivity on Nick Bosa playing week one. I think that he's got time to do that. And I'm glad that he came back. You go through these issues in getting back now, not during the season. Bosa knows what he's doing. And I think, again, I haven't seen the swelling. I haven't seen, you know, the MRIs and all that stuff. So I don't know. I haven't talked to Bosa. But I am not raising the 5-alarm fire or whatever else. I'm just not at that place. I really, really am not. Now, and again, I'm already way behind on the chat, and that's okay. That's right. We're getting this party started. Yeah, 49ers football today, high school football later. I love it. I love it. I love it. What's up, Geronimo, over on Twitch? Appreciate you, man. You are awesome. Yeah, Nicholas right here is coming off a big injury. He's watching his body. Be smart. Bosa just restructured 2 months ago. Give the conspiracy crap a break. Some people are just itching for that stuff, and I hate that there's always a market for it. Don't be a sheep like that, man. But if you have to have that, you go do that. You know who to follow for that. That's always going to be there. It's not. Anyway, do with that what you will. Christian McCaffrey did not practice today again, but was going through his typical warm-up routine. Looking good, doing all his high knees, his A-skips. And if you've ever been out there and watched Christian McCaffrey warm up, it is a pretty regimented, pretty intense warm-up routine. He went through the whole thing. And so deal with that what you will. And Kyle even said, you know, on Christian McCaffrey, like, the job is to get him ready for week one. He's good. And so overall, not really concerned about that at all. Mike Evans back in practice. That is huge. Just did individual and routes, no team stuff against the Titans. But it's nice to have him back out there running routes, looking smooth. He's 32, So you're not looking as spry as you used to back in the day as a wide receiver, but still, Mike Evans looking good. And so, like, if you're looking for, man, what is the positive injury news? Mike Evans is back in practice. That's one. Number two, no new major injuries to report today after a joint practice. That's huge. Could have had a lot of major issues. Thankfully, you got out of this one rough. You know, joint practice, people were fighting, all that kind of stuff. As of now, no new injuries to report. And this is a day where across the NFL, players are getting carted off. You're losing starting safeties and free agency. Injuries are happening, and they're going to continue. They're going to happen for the 49ers. But I would argue, this is a little off the cuff here, I would argue this past week has been stellar from an injury standpoint. The Bosa thing, that's a past tense thing. The CMC, tightness, whatever else. There's been no new major injuries whenever you started this last installment of training camp, right? And so this week has gone really, really well.
I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love, and that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is it's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last-minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum-sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from five distinct cuts of steak. You get four filet mignon burgers, four New York strip burgers, four ribeye burgers, four brisket burgers, four sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself, you can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's three easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. That's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees.
That first week was rough. And second week, not great. Things are looking good. Things are starting to look pretty damn good. Even Kyle Shanahan got his cast off. Are you kidding me? Everybody's getting healthy. Let's go. With our powers combined, like, that's kind of where it feels and where things are going. Oh, I freaking love it. All right. Let's get through a jumble of joint practice notes, which we've got a bunch. I'd have to say thank you to our executive producers, 49ers George, 365, David Gill, Corey Robbins. You guys are the legends that make this show happen. Thank you so much. All right.
fight breaks out after the first play. Oh, I love it, man. Garrett Wallow took a swing. Now, Bonta Hill, shout out to Bonta. He said, you know, Garrett Wallow would have had a would-be sack later on in team drills. So, like Garrett Wallow, like the linebacker position showing pressure, that's that fever backer spot, right? Garrett Wallow's been taking a lot of two reps there. Now, Nick Martin's taking the most first-team reps as that third backer. Garrett Wallow, too. Jaden Duggar, he's starting to get some first-team snaps as well. So those are kind of the three guys that have been there and getting the most snaps. Now you also have the starter from last year getting snaps out there too at that backer spot, which, you know, on the unofficial depth chart, this is Luke Gifford we're talking about. The unofficial depth chart's made by media. It's not made by the team. So just always understand that. Like, and I even posted 2 days ago, like, unofficial depth chart's coming soon. Don't react to it. It has nothing to do with what's happening. But anyway, still, it's going to happen. And it did happen. What's up, Jax? Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. So all these fights break out. Four fights in the first 10 minutes. Dre Greenlaw's back. I love it. Lombardi put out there, Dre Greenlaw destroyed a blocker to blow up a sweep, and fight chaos took over on the very next play. One of the Titans players got kicked out. One of their offensive linemen, Ostick DeColis, Ron Burgundy, got kicked out. So Dre Greenlaw, I'm telling you, him and Fred Warner are going to be at the center of all that. Fred's a talker. Dre Greenlaw's the enforcer. Dre don't talk a lot. Dre just blows people up. Like, and he has a reputation around the NFL. People understand. You're going into practice, a joint practice against the 49ers. You know who 5'7 is if you're an offensive player. If you're a guard, uncovered guard, right? So, like, a lot of times the 49ers run a 31 front, which is, you know, three technique goes to the strong side, one technique, which is covering the center, which means there's going to be an uncovered guard to the weak side, to the defense, right? So, guess what? The weak side or the will linebacker, Dre Greenlaw, more often than not, is lined up over an uncovered guard, meaning you have the defensive end over the tackle outside shade. You have your defensive tackle, your plugger, over the center. The guard is uncovered. So in a lot of those run plays, it's the guard's job to get to the weak side backer. They know 5'7 is going to freaking use his shoulder, and sure enough, one of those guards got thrown out of the game. Like, Dre Greenlaw affects everything. This is my favorite player. How do you not love 57. Who doesn't love unanticipated violence? I guess it is anticipated. Anticipated violence that is coming. Gosh, I can't wait. Oh, I freaking love it, man. I love it. I love it. Love it. Next play. I already talked about that one. Now, Fred Warner, quote, tearing up the Titans offense and team. That's from our man Raj RSF. Now, the Fred press conference takes place. And I liked it. A lot of takeaways. You got to get Fred in front of the mic more often. He's just so damn good. If you ask him a legitimate football question, you're going to get a lot of insights. Probably the key takeaway from the Fred Warner press conference, and I have way more practice notes, but I'm trying to group together all the Warner stuff. We'll get back to more play-by-play stuff. He said he's more confident in this defensive back group than any other group he's been with since he's been a 49er. Let me say that again. Fred Warner has more confidence in this defensive back group than any other defensive back group that he's been with since he joined the 49ers in 2018. He went on to say that's not a knock on any of the groups before. It's just that they're playing with such a confidence and they're playing some sticky coverage and getting their hands on the ball and all those. That is gigantic, especially whenever you look at my biggest weakness or concern with the roster, not just the defense, is the safety position. I think it's the biggest weakness on the team. If you get elevated safety play, the defense is unbelievable. We even saw that last year with all the injuries. Whenever you had 2 to 3 games where you got good safety play, the Carolina Panthers game, there was the Colts game. The defense is freaking lights out. When you get sub-performance safety play, defense is what it is, right? It, which was busted up with all the injuries, lack of pass rush, all those different things. So if the DB group is playing that well, you got to love it. And Fred, I mean, that is a glowing endorsement that he did not have to give. He didn't have to give. And this is something we talked about all offseason. Bringing in Raheem Morris, who's a DB-centered coach. Bringing in Jerry Gray to work with the safeties. The last time they had a DB-centered coach was Steve Wilks. And guess what? Jair Brown looked like a functional safety with upside. Back-to-back years, Sorensen Salah, absolutely awful. One of the worst safeties in the NFL. Which Jair Brown are you going to get? Had an interception today. Make it a play. That is huge. Build the confidence. Jair Brown, his upside is ball skills. I mean, shoot, picked off Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. That's incredible. Again, rookie year with Wilks, right? Can you return to that? Can you eliminate the negatives? He's always been able to get his hands on the football, but can you eliminate the major negatives? That's the step that we need to see from 2-7. That's where game film comes into. I think that's going to be a big deal. I really, really do. What's up, Big Papa? Raheem Morris bring a great defensive back coach with him. It's just huge. Fred doesn't lie. Yeah, I'm with you, Ben. I love it. Yeah, Last Hero says, you know, it's high praise if this is the best DB room we've had in Kyle Stanley. It's the best cornerback depth by a mile. By a mile. It is the best cornerback depth. Now, you've had Richard Sherman. You've had Jason Verrett. You've had Emmanuel Mosley. But you never had guys behind them. Yeah, Jacob Robinson making the play of the day on a diving interception. Like, Jacob Robinson is getting work with the last rotation in corners. I don't think he's going to make the 53. I don't think that's a shock. But his sticky coverage, it's evident in camp consistently. Run game's his main concern, but the ball skills are there. Freaking, I love Jacob Robinson. But you have depth. Jack Jones. Golly, man. Nate Hobbs. We're not even talking about that guy. You draft Ephesians Prysock. He's getting reps with Jacob Robinson with the last group. So many corners. Safety's the issue. Can you move some of those guys to safety? You haven't done it yet. You can talk about moving up to the stout to safety. You haven't done it yet. Yeah, we'll have to see there. What's up, Sean? Appreciate you. Greenlaw is my favorite player because of his intensity. Yeah. Oh, I freaking love it, man. Oh. Love it, love it, love it. Yeah, we got Greenlaw, the AVI's back in there. Yes, yes. What's up, Notorious? Appreciate you, man. He's talking about all the people in the chat. Yeah, juice that like button if you're watching us. We appreciate you. We are here pretty much every damn day for the rest of the year. Now, I've got in-laws in town, so my timing's going to be a little bit off the next couple of days, but that's okay. We'll be having shows and all kinds of different stuff, and yeah, we're going on. Yeah, the trade for Crosby, that's a, you don't trade guys with ACLs. That ain't happening. Offseason's over. We're not talking about that. Ben, we're witnessing the infancy of the next Super Bowl winner. Enjoy this ride. I will say, like, this is a time for all football fans, not just 49ers. Like, you should have hope and optimism with your team right now. I understand all the injury scares and whatever else bring with it kind of a dampening or a wet blanket type approach. And just like, man, it's kind of hard to get like excited. None of the injuries that have taken place outside of Ricky Pearsall, which this is an injury that happened last September, are long-term injuries. Vidarian Lowe's injury is probably the longest, and that's a high ankle sprain. Just rolled his ankle. So yeah, there's a lot of guys with tightness. Yeah, there's some hamstring. There's some calf strains. Those are ridiculous. Those are short-term. Overall, long-term issues, the 49ers have done well so far, knock on wood. This should be a time of hope and optimism. We get to see rookies get to play in the 49ers uniform for the first time. Thursday. It's Tuesday. 2 days. How are you not, like, you should be pretty pumped about where things are right now. You really, really should. So, just kind of check your attitude sometimes. I get negativity dominates social media and algorithms or whatever else. There should be a lot of hope and optimism right now around the 49ers. You have 7 potential Hall of Famers on this roster. Returning. Deshaun Stribling's looking like a freaking boss consistently whenever he's out there. Jaden Duggar, who knows? Could be the next fifth round gem in a long line of fifth round studs. Like, there's a lot of optimism that should be out there. It really, really should. Captain right here. I got high hope for Jerry Gray. Going to get those safeties back in order. That's what I want. And yeah, Jack Jones is having a good camp, but it's Jack Jones. Like, and this is kind of the problem with, you know, camp reports is the positives get reported consistently. And if you're a quarterback, then it's bad. It gets reported, the interceptions and whatever. But like Jack Jones, I've been out there holding, tackling wide receivers. Yeah, he got an interception. He tackled the wide receiver at the 6-yard line. But that's Jack Jones. You know what you're getting with him. And if he's going to be your backup corner, dude, this is a guy that started for 3 consecutive years in the NFL. Yeah, he's batshit crazy in his play style, but that's okay. You don't mind that with DBs. You can do a little crazy with the defensive back. And the fact that Jack Jones isn't starting is a testament to this defensive back group. Like Fred Warner said, you brought Jack Jones. You brought Nate Hobbs in to compete to try to get D'Amador Lenore, Upton Stout, you know, Renardo Green to step up. All of them have stepped up. So, like, there is no controversy with who's starting or position battles. No. Instead, you have veteran depth, which is a sign of a quality football team at a premium position. Cornerback is that. I has not been the modus operandi of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan with the 49ers cornerback group since they've been here. This is different. At that position, but this time's different. Hey, steal your bike. Robert, what's up, man? John, I'm sitting here pricing out my sports card collection. Oh, dude, I love it. But not so bad now. I can hang out with you guys in the Band of the Faithful. Robert, appreciate you, man. Can't wait to be with you soon. Oh, look at this. JP Hellahard in the chat. Appreciate you guys. Richard says, surely you aren't putting your in-laws above us. No, it's not like that. Definitely not like that. Be excited, man. I love that. I really, really do. Let's get back to some notes. I'm going to fall behind in the chat. That's okay. Fred Warner, awesome. And more things. He talked about Jaden Duggar and just, man, he said love, I think like 4 times when asked about Jaden Duggar. He said, I just love him. He has a rare skill set, a scarce skill set that is rare, said Fred Warner on Jaden Duggar. Not afraid of contact. His instincts are good. Still makes a lot of rookie mistakes. That's not going to be reported out there in the sound bites. Thursday is a really good opportunity for him. Watching Jaden Duggar play is worth the price of admission. Oh, it's huge, man. Because he's so damn raw. And the tape showed that. Oh, I'm so pumped about it. Upton Stout making plays all over the place. My biggest concern, and I've voiced this in the past, and I put this out on Twitter. And, you know, it got some traffic, whatever else. I said, you know, my biggest concern is that this 5-man front that Raheem Morris does and the fever backer and getting Jaden Duggar and Nick Martin out there is that, look, man, if you have a 5-man front or a 4-3, you don't have a nickel backer. I want Upton Stout playing as much as possible. I want him playing 80% of the snaps. That's my biggest concern. So I'm loving all of the playmaking that continues to happen with Upton Stout and his rise to greatness. Again, people complain about this front office lack of home runs in the draft. Man, I'm not so sure. Brock Purdy was guaranteed home. I mean, he's a home run. However you classify it, that was hit it out of the park. Most valuable player in that draft class. Not just for the 49ers, the entire draft class, you got him last. I would argue Dominique Pooney was probably a double or a triple in the next draft. And then I'm going to say Upton Stout. Come on, man. Come on. 2025, let's go, baby. Like, he's close. Yeah, like, he's a double. Can he be better? Now, people quote tweeting and responding to me saying, oh, he's going to play way more than that. He's going to play more than that. But, like, it's just, like, I don't know. I'm concerned about this. It's a good concern to have, but it's just something to keep an eye on. I don't want 5-man fronts and 4-3 overs if Upton Stout's on the sideline. That is a problem that I have. That is a problem. Now, they are moving Stout around much more. Notorious, could Stout be a cornerback too if Green doesn't ball out this year? I think it would be Jack Jones up if you needed another outside corner. I think the natural move eventually would be for Stout to play some safety type looks if you're going to do that. Pull off Marquis Siegel, pull off Jair Brown, move Upton to safety. You know, if you're going to do that five-man front or fever back or whatever stuff you're going to do, I want him out there every play. I don't want 20 off the damn field ever, ever. Put him on offense. He's now your number two running back. Like, I don't think people understand how hyped I am about Upton Stout. It's like, golly, man. Can we extend him already? Is that, you can't. You got to wait till they complete their third season. But I'm just like, dude, is Stout him? Like, is Stout going to be a 10-year 49er that just starts at nickel and is just that guy? I've said so many times, Stout has the potential to be the best nickel corner in the NFL, which is now a premium position. Oh, man. All right, back to practice. Sorry, guys. I get too excited. Debo, man. Got to talk about Debo Samuel. Everybody talking about Debo. Getting a lot of backfield reps, said Ted Wynn. Best shape he's ever seen him in. Debo cooking from RSF. Offensive players not named Debo off to a slow start at the start of practice. That's from Vic Tafur. Every time I look over on the other side of the field, Deshaun Stribling is making a catch. I don't know how that got in my Debo notes. Sorry about that. But shout out to Stribling right there, who continues to stack good days. Debo had 3 touchdowns in red zone period alone. He caught a few middle of the field passes, which is those Debo end breakers, and had a huge play from Mac Jones. So you're talking multiple periods where Debo Samuel was showing he's where he was. That is good. Now, I want him to be a jack of all trades type guy. I don't want him to be the starter, whatever else. I get it with where we're at now. I really want, like, in 2 wide receiver sets, I want Mike Evans and Deshaun Stribling to be out there, but I get it. There's going to be a rotation, and there's going to be plenty of time for Stribling to be the guy. I'm concerned, like a lot of people are, and I appreciate everybody's, you know, stuff coming in saying, dude, I'm really concerned Kyle's just going to force feed the ball to Debo again. With CMC healthy, Debo as a backup running back in that regard, you can still do some of the screen jet sweep stuff. I'm hoping it goes well. Alfredo, why does Cone hate on the 49ers? Because he understands the algorithm and that people will talk about him. He's not a sports fan. He's not anything. He just understands how negativity gets clicks and you kind of feeding into that. So that's what that is. Yeah, do what you will. He works hard and he's an entertainer. Don't go there for football information. but that's okay. You do what you got to do. Appreciate you though. And man, I want to see people be successful, even though I have him blocked and he has me blocked and all that stuff and his whole camp is whatever. That's cool. I hope they have success and I hope that they make money. That is their goal and they're going to keep doing that. So do with that what you will. Yeah, this was interesting to me. A lot of negativity from Matt Maiocco today from practice on the early part. I don't know. Matt Maiocco is the man. He's awesome. He's got more access to the team than anybody else. Take that for what you will. Fighting's not a bad thing. Fighting ain't a bad thing. He was really upset about that, but fighting's a good thing. do with that what you will. Yeah, right there, Shade. I want to be wrong about Debo. Give me that crow. I'll eat it unsalted. Yes, being wrong is the best thing ever. Junior Bergen becomes the next stud slot wide receiver. Jair Brown becomes a Pro Bowl free safety. Man, yes. Like, that is the goal. Like, I am a 49ers fan that is a former coach that just loves being here and talking 49ers football. That's it. That's all I am. I'm not here to prove myself right on takes. It happens a lot of times because we watch so much tape. Don't care about being wrong. I am not here for me. our tenets of what the 49ers Rush podcast is, or our purpose. This is episode 1691. Increase the fan experience for you guys and to teach about football. That's it. And increase the community, of course. That's it. Outside of that, man, it's all details. And there's so many positives. And man, if you want to come increase the community with us, any 49ers away game, we're going to be there. 49ersrushroadtrip.com. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Dude, and again, we are going to be in Australia. We're going to be in Mexico City. We're going to be in Atlanta. We're going to be in Dallas. We're going to be in Seattle. Go get your tickets, 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Appreciate you guys. Thank you, Joseph. You are the freaking man. All the nice, kind words. I appreciate you guys. You're awesome. Now, back to practice notes. With Jacob Cowing out, when they were practicing punts, here's the rotation. Shout out to Noah Furtado for this. Jordan Watkins first up. That's huge. Haven't seen that. That hasn't been the case. Trent Irwin, Junior Bergen, Will Pauling, they were the first ones up for returning punts. Will Pauling seems to be the guy. I like that Jordan Watkins is seizing his opportunity while number six, you know, Jacob Cowing is out with the hip flexor. Still a lot to be determined in that punt return battle. Is Debo going to be the all-the-time punt returner? I would be cool with that. Or is he just the dynamic returner? Because a lot of times you have two separate returners at punt because you want a safe returner that's just better at fielding the ball if there's a chance for a fair catch. Then you have your dynamic returner whenever the opposing team is punting within their own 40, right? So if they're punting with their own 40 and there's a chance for a return, you put Debo out there. If they're punting from midfield or trying to, you know, pin you deep, then you put your safe returner that has better hands. Debo does bobble it a lot, lets it into his pads a little too often. Do with that kind of what you will. Larry Wirth, on the interception that Jacob Robinson had earlier, this is from Mayoko. Larry Wirth had a pressure on that play, which led to the diving interception from Jacob Robinson. Love to see that. Brock Purdy cooking during red zone drills, throwing it and with his feet. Shout out to RSF. Two touchdowns to DeMarcus Robinson. I'm telling you right now, I can't quit DeMarcus Robinson. I just can't. Not only is he the playoff hero, number one wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson against Quinyon Mitchell, cooked him, kept the Eagles home. You stay home. Two touchdowns to DeMarcus Robinson. Purdy to Farrell touchdown. Again, more Luke Farrell touchdowns. Like, he is stepping up his receiving game. And Kyle Shanahan talked about this at the press conference after practice today. Asked about the tight end room, and he said, I really feel like a lot of those players that were here last year and are back now. And so you're talking, you know, Farrell, you're talking Jake Tonjes, you're talking Braden Willis. They've all increased their receiving game and blocking game. I think that that is huge. Obviously, Luke Farrell couldn't be worse, but this is not 1, 2, 3 practices of Luke Farrell and Brock Purdy hooking up. And Luke Farrell's getting almost all of the exclusive first team reps. When it's one tight end, Luke Farrell's the tight end with the ones. He is your starter. Jake Tonjes comes in two sets and is the number two team tight end. I wish that would switch, but Farrell's had a really good camp. We're not out here to root against players. That's not what we do. The hope is Luke Farrell can ascend and step up his game like he is being paid to play. That was a crazy contract that they gave him, and he did not live up to it at all on offense. Now, stud special teamer, you do have to give Luke Farrell that. He is a consistent top three special teamer last year. So you're hoping that continues, but can actually be a receiving threat, just even a check down merchant, I'd be cool with. But there were times last year where Brock Purdy saw Farrell open, pump faked in, like, I can't throw it stone hands. We'll see what that looks like. Also, Brock Purdy had a rush touchdown in red zone drills as well. So, You're talking three touchdown passes and a rushing touchdown just in the red zone period for Brock Purdy. From Bonta, Nick Martin popped to tight end. Nice open field tackle was awesome. Jaden Duggar getting reps with the ones. Osa blows up J.C. Latham. Another scuffle starts. Next play, Jair Brown pick six on the interception. Both defensive ends got pressure on that play. Don't know who that was. This was a report from Torin Davenport, who covers for the Titans. So he's not, you know, occupied with the 49ers players. But, you know, I'm going through both beat reporters, all their stuff as best that I can. After that play, Carnell Tate slammed his helmet on the ground. Shout out to Caesar Bass for that one. So, like, you're talking about a run of plays where Nick Martin blows a player up. You know, Osa blows their guy up and gets in the backfield, gets a pick six. Wide receiver's pissed off, throwing his helmet on the sideline. This is what you want from a joint practice. 49ers defense just being in control of the environment. And this isn't against the twos and the threes. This is Carnell Tate. This is J.C. Latham. This is Cam Ward. You've got to love pissing the other team off. And you know what it reminds me of? Like, and again, this is blown out of context, but that's what we're here doing. Let's be honest, man. We're trying to have some freaking fun here. You remember freaking 2019 against the Jacksonville Jaguars, like Jimmy G's like first or second start, and they had this elite defense and, you know, Jalen Ramsey, all that stuff, and he's just dicing them up. They didn't have any answers. But whenever you're pissing the opposing team off and they're throwing their helmets to the ground and all these different things, that's exactly what you want. The defense being in control. Are the Titans a good team? They are not. But Cam Ward's the number one pick. J.C. Latham's a number one pick. Carnell Tate's a number one pick. It's not like they don't have talent. Ah, I freaking love it. I love it. The ball keeps finding Stribling. Ooh, love that. That's from Ted Nguyen. DeMarcus Robinson, another touchdown down the right sideline. That's from Raj. Alfred Collins with a would-be sack. Again, you can't sack the quarterback when you finish play. Who knows? That's from Torin Davenport. Marquis Siegel could have blasted Carnell Tate on a post route, but he pulled up not to lay out the wide receiver. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That is the thing. What did Marquis Siegel talk about? He's like, I've got to get faster and keep my speed and make better plays on the post. Right there. Marquis Siegel could have blasted Carnell Tate on a post. Talked about it yesterday. Boom. Today, top five pick, right where he's supposed to be. Now, you don't want to do that in a joint practice. You don't want to do that. Marquis Siegel likes to hit, by the way. Like, he will do that. You better watch out, man. Ah! More from just Titans beat writers. Pretty impressive watching Fred Warner diagnose plays. Mac Jones threw a couple interceptions throughout the day. Matt Lively. Three wide receiver tight ends stood out from Matt Lively. He said, Deshaun Stribling, DeMarcus Robinson, and Braden Willis. Not the first time Braden Willis has shown out. Kyle Shanahan even said his name specifically and said he has improved dramatically. I was at the training camp where he had the one hand behind the freaking body laying out kind of Odell catch. They really like Braden Willis. He has the perfect makeup for this all-purpose tight end. He's just been on the outside looking in. And if Kittle is going to miss time, which Kittle's looking better and better, hopefully he doesn't, but you kind of have to anticipate that. Your top three tight ends, it's going to be Luke Farrell, Los Gatos, Jake Tonjes, and Braden Willis. Those are your three guys. Those are your three guys. You guys are awesome, man. Appreciate y'all. Let's see here. Going through the chat. Appreciate you guys. What's up, man? Glad you're here, Sparkle Tone. Never get to catch you live. Big fan, John. Big fan of you. Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Love it, love it, love it. Yeah, a lot of comments right here. Shane, yeah, D-Rob is Chaps boy. Big day. I love consistent players. I don't like DeMarcus Robinson as a starter. I just think, like, he is, like, the best number five wide receiver in the NFL. And he's good with every damn quarterback. He's good with Brock. He's good with Mac Jones. He's good with Adrian Martinez. He's good with Curtis Rourke. And he has been for 2 years in a row now. Like, that is just a guy you keep. Like, you just know what you're getting. If one wide receiver is injured, if it's your X, he can play X. If it's your slot, he can play slot. If it's your Z, he can play Z. He can do it all. Like, I don't want him starting. And I think what separates DeMarcus Robinson is he has always been an elite wide receiver in the red zone. And I wish he was always in red zone snaps. Like, I used to get pissed off whenever, and I can say it now, Ricky Pearsall's in there and it's like third and goal. Ricky Pearsall can't score a touchdown, save his damn life. That's not where he is successful. He's successful in the middle of the field. And meanwhile, on the sidelines, number seven, who double-digit touchdowns consistently. Like, that is what he does. Anyway, D-Rob should be in there in goal line possessions. Like, even over Stribling. Like, he's that good at the red zone. He just does it. He does it. He does it. Look at this, Kali. Purdy will be MVP finalist this season. That would be huge. He's not too far off in the betting lines, if you want to dive in there. We'll see if Purdy trusts Farrell in the games. Last year, he did not. He's been going to him a lot all through training camp. It really has. Yeah, Tonjes not being a starter is criminal. You're paying him. I love Tonjes. I just think they always want him to be that accent piece. But gosh, I love him. Starting left guard was Robert Jones. Has been for the past few days. Again, Chris Forster talked about this, how they're trying to see, they want all the guys to get snaps at right guard. So you've got Carver Willis as the number two left guard at practice today, and you've got Connor Colby as the number two right guard. And one of the things that I thought was interesting in the left guard conversation, they asked Kyle Shanahan about the left guard spot. He said, too early to say it's definitely, you know, too early to say who it is. It's definitely open to everybody. He's the first guy. Chris Forster didn't do this. He's the first guy to say, would love to get Carver involved. And then he went on to say it was really hard with him missing so much time. I think Carver's going to be the eventual center. He's even taken center snaps finally. I do think that it is a two-horse race for the left guard spot, but who knows? Nobody's finalizing and showing it's their job. That's why the job's still open. Connor Colby got first crack at it, didn't lock it down. Robert Jones got second crack at it, didn't lock it down. You're going to see a lot from those two guys. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Robert Jones starts left guard and Connor Colby starts right guard Thursday. I don't think Dominic Pooney's going to be out there. So we'll see there. We'll see what that is. Yeah, right here, 404. Duggar's going to be a gem. I hope he continues his progress. That is huge. Oh, that is huge, man. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. One of those guys that when they drafted him, I thought he was going to be an edge guy. They put him at linebacker, moved him to edge for two practices, then moved him back to linebacker. I don't like all the moving around, but that's okay. Jax, John, if the season started tomorrow, who are your 5 to 6 wide receivers? Ooh. All right, let's do locks, right? Mike Evans, lock. Sean Stribling, lock. Debo, lock. DeMarcus Robinson, lock. Those are my four locks. I'm not even discussing it. Unless with DeMarcus Robinson, we do a gentleman's agreement and we say, hey, we're going to waive you or we're going to cut you. You're not subject to waivers as a veteran. We're going to give you a couple hundred extra thousand guaranteed money, bring you back on the practice squad, bump you up. You're not allowed. That's against CBA rules, but Kyle Shanahan does it every single year. But again, Evans, Stribling, Debo, DeMarcus. Christian Kirk's rough, man. One practice. When's he getting back out there? Is he safe now? I don't know. Cowing? Don't know. Watkins? I probably Jordan Watkins. Then Wesley Grimes? I love Wesley Grimes, but I don't think you have to be worried about him being stole from somebody else. Will Pauling's, man, if you're not going to keep Cowing, Pauling's probably going to be your punt returner. Ah, Jacob Cowing. It's hard, man. That wide receiver room, it's totally very similar to the left guard. If you want one of these spots, you got to go get it. You got three preseason games. You have another joint practice set up coming up in 2 weeks. There is a lot of meat on the bone to be had. Who wants it? It's open. The door is open. You know, there's 3 to 4 locks in the wide receiver room. That's it. You keep 5 to 6. Is Christian Kirk safe? I don't know. That's going to be a hard one. Stribling is going to be a stud. He was one of our rush crush, one of the 13 favorite players in this draft. Loved him. Didn't have him ranked at 33. yeah, it was high to 9.5. Dude, I keep saying this. At the practices I was at, Romello height, indiscernible. And it's early. He's going to get playing time. Indiscernible so far. But you don't get to hit the quarterback. You don't even get close to the quarterback. Ooh, we'll see. Oh, Notorious. What's up, man? Our resident fullback tight end expert. I've always been high on Braden Willis. If he makes an impact this year, I want everyone to acknowledge me as the Tribal Chief. P.S. It's not often I'm right. Come on, man. You are always right, my friend. Appreciate whenever you are here. Appreciate your friendship and all the comments. I love it. Kali, if Stribling gets 600-plus yards and 4 to 5 touchdowns, I will acknowledge him. That would be better than anything that Ricky Pearsall has done. To put it into perspective, right? Do I expect Stribling to get over 600 yards? I do. I do. I really do. I don't think it's going to take long for him to be the guy out there in two wide receiver sets, which I think you're going to have a lot of when Kittle comes back, where it's going to be 21 personnel. Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk, George Kittle out there. It's going to be 12 personnel. Christian McCaffrey, Kittle, and then one of the other two tight ends out there. Whenever it is that, it's just two wide receivers. I think Stribling is going to be that guy more often than not. I think that's what they want. Oh, man. Yeah, Will Pauling consistently looking nice. I'm a Wesley Grimes guy just because I like bigger-bodied wide receivers, but Will Pauling's doing his job. There ain't no doubt about that. None. Yeah, Cowan has to stop straining muscles. I love him. Never missed one game in college. 5 consecutive seasons without a missed game. Jacob routes on air. Cowan strained his hamstring very first practice last season in training camp. Comes back 5 weeks later. Very first practice back. Strains it again. Missed the whole season. Made it through a week of practices. Then strained his hip flexor. Dude, that hip flexor, you strain that, that hurts. If you've ever done that, anytime you get up out of a chair, you lift that leg, anything, it is almost impossible to rest that damn thing. And once it's strained, whew, good luck. I don't know how long he's going to be out. But if Cowing doesn't play in any preseason games, he's gone. He's gone. He has to prove that he's a football player in the NFL. He has not done that at this point. There's no locks by any imagination. All right, here, Big Red. John, can't wait to have a beer with you in Dallas. Turning 40 tomorrow. Happy early birthday, Big Red. Niners and Texas football on the doorstep. I'm so hyped. Let's go, man. Let's go. North Forney, baby, in the house. Happy early birthday, buddy. You are the best of us, and so thankful for you. Can't wait to share a beer and break bread or drink bread together in Dallas. Is going to be a blast, my friend. Cannot wait. Oh, you guys are awesome. Let's see here. I love this. It's Evans and Debo. We are talking about Shady here. I know Shaw John is psyched, but not really telling us much about what happened today. I wasn't there. I got family in town, man. And so that's just kind of the way it goes. So I apologize. There's no video that's allowed to take place during team period for the 49ers. That's what it is. Now, I do want to talk more about this. Kyle Shanahan's press conference and the things he said. He says, John, did you hear Kyle's comments about Juice being out? Looks like to be a conglomerate of players taking over Juice's role. Well, Juice used to just be the fullback. But then last year, after week one, whenever Kittle went out, Juice took over a lot of Kittle's role as that tight end option. And so since Kittle's been out, yeah, Juice has been doing a lot of that stuff. Now he's out as well. Braden Willis is the guy to step into that role. So that's kind of where that goes. And again, Kyle talked about CMC's job is to get ready week one. So is Kyle Juszczyk. They've already shown enough. They're veterans. They've been through this. They've played 10 years, like, 10 plus in Juice's case, their job's to get ready for week one. A broken finger, all that kind of stuff. Do what you want to do for that. And, you know, talking about Brock Purdy, one of the things that I really, really liked, Kyle Shanahan had said, you know, Brock's a really good player. And I don't really notice the good plays anymore because I expect them. I noticed the really bad plays. Didn't notice any really bad plays from Brock today. Thought he had a hell of a day. That's as nice as Kyle Shanahan could be to a quarterback. That's it. No concern on CMC injury lingering, said Kyle. He said, looks great during warmups. We don't want to make it something to be concerned about by rushing him back. Very exciting to get Stribling back. Kyle Shanahan said, quote, I love him getting reps. We need to get him ready for an NFL game. He said they're giving him a lot. Said starters will not be playing Thursday for the 49ers. Won't be many starters playing. Robert Saleh, the Titans, quote, everyone's playing, end quote. So, very similar to what you saw last year with the Broncos in the first preseason game, where it's the 49ers twos against the Titans starters. That's what you're going to get. You are going to get a premium look. I love that. Now, if you are one of the crazies and you want to bet a preseason game, understand it is the 49ers twos versus the Titans ones. How long will they play? One series, two series, whole quarter? They're trying to rebuild and establish a culture. They're completely different franchises going in completely different directions. Now, if you are a crazy person and you do bet preseason games, I just want to say you scare the shit out of me. But if you do bet this year, whether it's preseason, season long, or you want to bet with us over at the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon, only one place to go. Football is back, ladies and gentlemen. And whether you've been betting for years or you're just looking to get into the action for the first time, MyBookie is where I'm playing. I'll be sharing some of the spots that we're on. And if you want to follow along with us betting every single week, weekly, season long, you name it, we post those at the 49ersrush.com, every single bet we do, and on our Patreon channel, the 49ers Rush podcast. So, and that's the thing, you get a pick with MyBookie, whether you just want to jump in, you want to bet props, you want to bet over under, you want to bet who wins outright, MVP, whatever sport, college football, NFL, doesn't matter. It is up on MyBookie and they are ready to help you guys out. So if you're new to the club, here's what we're going to do. We're setting up a safety net. You get a bet back bonus. Your very first bet from $50 all the way up to $500. If you lose, you get it right back, plus a $25 casino credit. So sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers, 49ERS. Opt into our bet back bonus and take your first shot with a safety net. Football is finally here. Get in now and cash in with MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere. I bet in California, Texas, doesn't matter where you are. You can use MyBookie. Let's go. Let's go. All right, here we go. Let's get to some of these questions, comments, and keep this conversation going. I'm loving it. Ben, question for everyone. Does anyone remember a rookie wide receiver looking as good as Stribling? Hint, I can remember that Jerry Rice did not. Think about that. Yeah, Jerry Rice had the drops problem and all those things. And, you know, media and coverage of teams wasn't like it was. Is it like it was back in the day? Now, every single rep, everything getting reported all the time. I can't think, and again, I started this in 2017. So since Shanahan has been here, I've been doing the 49ers Rush podcast. We have been doing. It's not just me. Sorry, misspoke there. I can't think of a rookie wide receiver getting this much. I really, really can't. I mean, if you just go back through recency, shoot. Ricky Pearsall never practiced his rookie year ever during training. I think he had like two practices. You had Jacob Cowing looked all right. Definitely space creator. Jordan Watkins looked pretty good through camp last year. That was a big one. Brandon Ayuk, that was a weird year with COVID and whatever else. Debo, Trent Taylor looked good, and he kind of started from the jump in that slot. But no, the answer is no. Now, the thing for Stribling that is key, he cannot miss any more reps. Whenever he missed with the hamstring tightness or whatever, it took 5 days away. I like the preventative side of it. I've talked about that extensively. Stribling can't miss any more time. These preseason games are going to be huge. He's lighting everybody up. Every single day of practice, it has been a positive when Deshaun Stribling's out there. Can that translate? And again, what did Kyle Shanahan say about him? You know, we need to get him ready for his first NFL game. And so it's always this kind of curtailed, you kind of could cut back the expectations a little bit because he is a rookie in the Shanahan scheme, which is the most advanced calculus wide receiver position in the NFL. We'll see. But the thing about Stripling that I think is probably not getting talked about enough is the lack of negatives. I remember Jordan Watkins running the wrong route and leading to an interception in the preseason game. Then he got injured, right? And that was kind of the end of what we heard of Jordan Watkins. His rookie year was basically done. He fought back for his injury, got back to the active, you know, roster or whatever else, but they kept healthy scratching him because he wasn't passing anybody on the depth chart. And that was the worst wide receiver group maybe in playoff history for the 49ers. And he couldn't crack the starting lineup. You're not keeping DeShon Stripling out of this lineup. Period. Not if the consistency and the playmaking ability continues. I think that is what is so different. Oh, there we go. J.J. Stokes had a lot of hype. Thank you, Robert Bruce. Again, not before my time. Dante Pettis didn't have that much hype. I remember the preseason games and early on in the season. If somebody was going to make contact with him, he was scared. Like, that's the thing. It's not 7-on-7. If it was, Dante Pettis would be a legend. Got hit one time, and dude was like alligator arm and everything. Notorious B.A. looked kind of solid his rookie year, but I don't think he looked as good as Strip Club has. Yeah, we'll have to see how that goes. You had that hurdle week two. I remember that. That was cool. Why do you think Strip Club has looked so good? Is he that good or that he's better prepared from college football? He's experienced. He was the most experienced wide receiver to come out of this draft class, right? We rated, I think we had like 38 wide receivers. We rated 1 through 10 on experience based on their snaps throughout their college career. He was 10 out of 10, over 3,000 career reps, game reps for three separate conferences, three separate teams. He went through the gauntlet. He had the experience coming into his rookie year, right? And so, like, that is one of the things that I think helped him. But then you look at his frame. Dude, 6'2", runs a 4.3. Strong as hell. Marine dad. Like, and matures. He's mature off the charts. Like, that is huge. And so, I think those are the things that have helped him. The Niners have thrown way too much at him. He's learning all three wide receiver spots at the same time. I don't like that. But, man, he's doing it. Yeah, Crabtree didn't even play in training camp. You're going to piss me off right there. Bourne got a lot of reps in rookie camp. That is correct. He did. That was that 2017 where they overhauled everything. Yeah, well said. Well said there. What's up, Snoop? Glad to see you in here, man. Oh, look at this. We're getting a football coaching question. What's your take on the Oklahoma drill? Is it outdated or a rite of passage? I've seen some messy injuries on the Oklahoma drill. And if you don't know what this is, there's lots of variations of it. But essentially, you get two players very far apart. Laying on their back is the traditional way to do it. You say, set, go. They jump up, run full speed, and just rhinoceros each other. I like the ones where you have an offensive, defensive lineman, a backer, and a running back. And you set goals. Like, they get to hear you lose or win, whatever. No, I think that it's very relatable to football, but that's like a high school thing. Probably wouldn't do it at the college level. Probably wouldn't do it in the NFL level. Definitely not in the NFL level. But no, I don't think it's outdated. But you have to go through a tackling training camp before you can do that. Otherwise, people get hurt, right? You have to learn how to tackle. Like, the days of doing the Oklahoma drill first day in pads, that is bullshit. That is dumb as hell. You need to go through a tackling training camp to help people learn how to tackle, see what you hit, head up, all those things. To get to that point, to mitigate injuries. These are kids. But at the same time, man, I vividly remember. I'm 43 years young. I remember my first Oklahoma drill. And I remember getting put on my rear end. I still remember John Thompson. I remember the kid that did it. Yeah, his dad was the coach. He kicked my ass. And I remember saying, I'm going to light that mother effer up. And eventually I got to that point. So, like, it's going to learn. And again, I always say this, football, it can build character, but it always reveals it. Like, from a young age, you get slobber knocked. And are you the dude that's going to cry and go home to mom? Are you the dude that's like, okay, I want to do that to other people? Like, who are you? So I don't think that it's outdated. I think society needs some more figure out who the hell you are. You're going to find out right now. Anyway, deal with that. Oh, Shotche, man, blast from the past. What's up, Steve, man? So good to see you in here. Thank you for the super chat. Nothing to add. Just good to see you. Great to see you too, man. Really, really appreciate that. Notorious says, yeah, outdated in your opinion. Nothing wrong with that. Captain, I was kind of the Oklahoma drill. Loved it so much. I like the drill, but hits, you know where it is. Anyway, I don't think it's outdated. You just got to be smart with it. Just got to be smart with it. Look at this. We got K Mark in the chat. What's up, man? Represented the Niner faithful up here in Seattle. You guys are the best of the best. Behind enemy lines. Appreciate what you're doing. Love it. He says, how well do you think the defense will be with the defensive coordinator, Raheem Morrison? Again, I go back to this all the time. Robert Saleh is awesome. Very different. Robert Saleh is at his worst versus quality offensive play callers, schemers. He gets dissected all the time because his rules are simple and he doesn't disguise. Raheem Morris is much more of a junk ball type defensive coordinator. He's going to throw a lot at you. Multiple. Looks crazy simplistic on the back end. Very multiple chaotic up front, back end chill, right? What is every single defensive back talking about? Dude, so easy. Just making everything easier, not thinking. Meanwhile, up front, what do they say? Man, learning a lot, playing multiple positions, all that stuff. So it's very different. The thing I'm most excited about Raheem Morris is against those top-notch play callers. McVay, Andy Reid, Kevin O'Connell, the Kubiak, like all that kind of stuff. That is where Raheem Morris is going to shine. Where Raheem Morris is going to struggle is against inexperienced quarterbacks. Robert Saleh's gold, and we made a lot of money off this. When Robert Saleh plays a young, inexperienced quarterback, that dude just dominates the shit out of him. He really, really does. But Robert Saleh against an experienced quarterback and a top-tier play caller, you kind of know what's going to happen. You kind of know what's going to, especially if there's an injury. Like when Fred went out, the secret sauce was gone. Saleh's awesome. Like, very glad for both of his stints here. Wish it would have been longer. I thought he kind of played himself short in where he went, but wish nothing but the best for him. And I like Cam Ward. I really do. Jeffrey Simmons, one of the best DTs in the game. Love Carnell Tate. A lot of positives there. I hope, because this is probably his last chance as a head coach. You fail here with that quarterback, probably done. And I hope that's not the case. But yeah, that's probably what I'm most excited about with Raheem Morris. So that's what we're going to take from there. Man. One more day, and then we got 49ers football Thursday. Ugh, can't wait. We will have a live show tomorrow evening with Larry, which I'm going to be really excited about. That's going to be fun. So if you have questions, join us. We'll be live around 7:15. Always have to say around 7:15 with Larry. He's got so much stuff going on in the in-laws and all that stuff. Uh-oh, I didn't even get permission with my wife. That's okay. I'm going to do it. We're going to do it. If I get in trouble, it's y'all's fault. I'm blaming y'all. You guys are the best. Hopefully you enjoyed today's show. And until next time, 49ers football's back, baby. Yeah. Till next time, stay strong, faithful.